Amen. All right, remain standing. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 31 and 1 Samuel chapter 1. Two places for our text this morning. Proverbs 31, very familiar and probably used a lot today, about that virtuous woman that Solomon tells us about under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And we'll look at a few verses there to get my text for the thought that I want to deal with this morning. And then I'm going to look at Samuel, 1 Samuel and Hannah there in chapter 1 and chapter 2 together. I'm not going to read all of that, but we'll allude to it. And the life there of Hannah being a representative of what we're going to be speaking about this morning. Amen. And let me say this in Proverbs chapter 31. This is the pinnacle of a virtuous woman. It's nobody, and just get nobody matches that pinnacle. But it's something to aim at. That's the point for it. It's not to say, well, if you're below this, you're a failure. Everybody fails to reach that. But the goal is to try to reach it. Amen. And ask God to help us with that. So, it's not, sometimes, you know, you read things, you hear things like that and say, well, you know, and if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. Right? And so we can ask God for help. But I'm looking at Proverbs 31 verse number 10. As where it starts up with that phrase, who can find a virtuous woman? We'll read down through verse number 16 and we'll read it responsively together. All right. Verse number 10, Proverbs 31. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. I'm going to stop there. In Proverbs 31, and let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 1, and I'll just read the first two verses. Again, we'll read it responsively. I'll start with verse 1, you'll come in verse 2. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaph-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoiam. Jeroam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. We'll stop there and we'll look at these as we go along. All right, let's pray together. Ask God to add blessing to the reading of his word. Brother Steve Vincent, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, in Proverbs, the text that we read, again, I say a lot of times on Mother's Day, they'll look at this 31st chapter of Proverbs, gives us the picture of what we would say the perfect woman. By the way, and I know, I don't remember one of Miss Kim's sons mentioned, they said, not that they're saying she's perfect. By the way, they wasn't pointing out her imperfections. They just said, no, mother's perfect. It was Matthew. He said, but she's perfect for me. Amen. And if we're not, none of us had a perfect mother, and none of you have been or will be a perfect mother. Sometimes, though, nostalgia will cause us to look back and say, boy, I think my mama was perfect. I think my grandmother was perfect. Well, again, I say that is what we ought to strive to be. And be honest with you, we ought to do our best to forget the imperfections. Right? Forget the things that don't have any need to be remembered. Remember the good things. Amen. And bring, if there be any good things, think on these things. Right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Think on these things. We're living in a society that wants to pick out a bad thing and wear that around as, you know, as a monument the rest of their life.
That's the flag they fly. I had a bad childhood. My mama was bad to me, or my dad was bad to me, or whatever the case is. That is their flag that they fly the rest of their life. That's a shame. It ought not be that way. Amen. It is truthful that we make mistakes, but thank God that God can help us even through that. Amen. Amen. Well, we look at this position of this mother in Proverbs 31. And in the case of what I read to you, I'll give you my title. My title is Mother, the Wise Investor. Mother, the Wise Investor. Because in this text that I read in Proverbs, I didn't read all of what she does, but it talks about her making investments in life. The first thing you notice in verse number 11, she's invested in her husband. Amen. In her husband. You say, I thought this Mother's Day, and I thought we're supposed to be focusing on children. No. You focus on the husband. Those children are going to be grown and gone one of these days. You're going to have to stay with him forever. Right? Amen. I'm glad my wife still babies me. Amen. Amen. Well, but she's invested in her husband. Then you go on down there at verse 12, still invested in her husband. Verse number 13, she starts investing in some clothing for her children. And then about the merchant ship, she invests in food for her family. She invests in work for her household. It talks about there in verse number 15. And then verse 16 starts talking about buying a field and planting a vineyard and all that. And so the idea there is that mother is an investor. And I believe that is absolutely right. Amen. Amen. Mother is investing with an entrepreneurial spirit. She wants to better the world. Right? And I think that's what we need that. Amen. And so we look at that in this case. And I said, not just any investment. I'm talking about making wise investments. All right. So if you'll follow me with that thought, Hannah was that woman that made a wise investment. She's one of them that's mentioned in the scripture. And I think it's a blessing to watch what she went through in her investment of life. Now, let me say this just by way of introduction. I'll get to my message in a moment. Then I'll do my best to be quick. Mother's Day, I can get bogged down. Of course, it's already 10 minutes till 12, in case you're just wondering. Your stomach probably already told you that. And I'm just getting started. I'll try to be done before supper time. All right? Will you stay with me? No, but seriously, in by way of introduction, thinking about it, invest. Y'all look the word up, invest, or investment. You know what the root word of that is? Vest. You know what it is? Clothed. Investing is putting on clothes. You take your money and you put clothes on it. You invest it in something of substance. Are you following me? If you buy gold, that's an investment. That money has been turned into gold. If you buy stocks, hopefully that's an investment in something that is not ethereal, all right? Not some .com that's going to crash in just a few days, but something that has some substance to it. Again, that's the clothing. I think it's interesting to me that the first time mother is found in the Bible is in Genesis chapter number 2, and she's called a mother, and then clothing is found in the very next verse. In the very next verse. And so there's something about that and the mother's idea of the clothing, all right, and in those things. So you might invest in a car, you put clothing on your money. That's what you've got, something of substance for your money. Anyway, I go on about that. So Genesis chapter number, I said 2, chapter 3. I got it wrote down, chapter 3, verse 20, first mention of mother. And then the next verse 21, is the mention of clothing. Well, you say that's a coincidence. I don't think so. Amen. Here's what I think. When Eve heard that Adam's going to have to go outside and work for his bread, with the sweat of his brow, she said, you need to put some clothes on. Come on now, laugh. But seriously, there's this idea, if we're going to invest, then we're going to have to put something on what we already have. Add to what we got. Are you following that? Is that making sense to you? We're adding to it, and that's this investment of this woman with her children, and that's what we see here with Hannah in this case. So I'm looking at this, and I'll get right to my points. There's three things that I want to look at in the life of Hannah and talking about her investments, a wise investor. We're going to look at her investment in family, we're going to look at her investment in faith, and we're going to look at her investment in future. So her investment in the family, in the faith, and in the future. First of all, she made a wise investment in her family. And I preached on this text in home conferences and things before. Matter of fact, pray for me. I got another one in August of this year that they've asked us to come and preach in a home conference. And I've never been to this particular church. But I use this text a lot of times because you can see so much in this. Hannah invested her life in her family, in spite of the fact that her circumstances were not all that pleasant. She had some uphill to work in order to have the family that she wanted to have. She persevered in her investment. She loved her family. And it is shown in the text. And by the way, I think a mother ought to love her family. She ought to invest in her family. Amen. I heard, you know, several ones talk about a mother that works outside the home, and sometimes that is a necessity. I do understand that, but I also understand that the home is work. Somebody says, oh, you mean you don't work? You just stay at home all the time? Hey, you try that sometime. Right, try that sometime and see what you think. Amen. But it is work. It's work from daylight to dark, and it's never done. In the middle of the night, one of them cries out. Who gets up? Not daddy most of the time. All right. It's mama. Amen. Time out. Is anybody awake? Somebody, if you're awake, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Rest of you, I heard your Z's already. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. This woman invested in her family. There's three things about her investment. She invested in spite of difficulty. She invested in spite of discouragement. She invested in spite of desperation in her life. Look at that. This will be A, B, and C. Her investment in spite of her difficulty. Verses 1 and 2. And I'm not going to read all these verses, but I'll just allude to them. Right off the bat, we learn that Hannah is in a marriage. She's married to a man. That'd be difficult enough. Thank you. But she's married to a man that's got two wives. Now, not only she got difficulty, he's got difficulty. All right. But her marriage, this is my point. Her marriage is not picture perfect marriage. It's not like what you'd read in Harlequin romance. And by the way, let me tell you, Harlequin romance is fiction. It ain't real. I don't care if you get the Christian fiction. Are you following me? It's fiction. What's that mean? It means it ain't real. It might have an allusion to reality. It might have some points to reality, but it ain't real. And the truth is, nobody has a picture-perfect family. There's difficulties. You probably don't have it like she had it. I hope you don't have it like she had it. But right off the bat, she's married to a man that has two wives, which is a recipe for disaster. Amen. A recipe for disaster. I remember Brother Tommy Miles talking about the church and being a head in the church. He said anything without a head is dead, and anything with two heads is a monster. Right. And I'm not saying that she's supposed to be the head of the house, but even if the man, if he is the head of the house, he's got two wives, that's a monstrosity. It's going to be difficult. That's what I'm talking about. He's going to deal with some difficulties. So she had this difficult. And here's what I want to notice this, and I don't have time to dwell this a lot. Even though she's in a difficult marriage, even though she's in, if I can say it this way, an unbiblical marriage, she's not looking for a way out. She's not looking for an exit sign. She's going to stick with it. She's going to stay with it in spite of the difficulties. Amen. Amen. Ms. Burkett mentioned, and I think Ms. Paulman mentioned about, she mentioned a father, she mentioned a grandfather, maybe, alcoholism, drunkenness. Those, and by the way, that used to be very, very common, that a woman marry a man and find out he ain't what he pretended he was. Are you following me? You know what they did? They stuck with it. And God blessed them. We're in a day when it's too easy to make an exit in the marriage. Amen. And I could stay there all day. But it's right, it's too easy to make an exit. Ought not be that we're looking for an exit sign. Ought to be when we said, for better or worse, hey, it might be worse than you thought it was. But pray for it to get better. Amen. Pray for it to get better. So here she's in a bad situation, and yet she worked to make the best of a bad situation. Can I just say, the Bible never told us that family would be an easy place to live. There's going to be difficulties. Amen. We talk about snowflakes today. You know, they talk about a snowflake generation. One of the reasons why we got a lot of snowflake generations is because a lot of them are only childs. They never had any competition in the family. They never had any debate or any problem. And that's why having children, you know what they do? They fight. Amen. Now they love each other, but they love to fight. I love my brother. I loved him to death. A few times, nearly to death. But there's a conflict when you've got multiple children in the family. But you know what that does? That teaches them it ain't all about you. You might get a bloody nose, but get up and go on anyhow. Right? Amen. It teaches that you can't just, you know, waller in your problems. If you waller in your problems, one of your brothers will step on you while you're right there wallering in your problems. Yeah. So, home is a place of potential trouble. Potential trouble. But we got to go on in spite of it. In spite of it. Amen. I believe God wants people that's going to make an investment. By the way, marriage is supposed to be a lifetime investment. Are you with me on that? A lifetime investment. Amen. So let's do that. All right. And by the way, most of the time, mother is the one that's committed. Amen. Most of the time, you read in the scriptures and you just look at history, most of the time it's the mother that has been the committed one. I know we're in a whole different generation, and women's lib has wrecked a whole lot of lives and ruins people's mindset on a whole lot of things. Right? They said before the 1960s, 1 out of 100 women left her husband. 99 times of a divorce, it was the man that left. After 1960, now it's about 60% women. More women divorce or file for divorce than men do. Of course, I know your argument. Have you ever been tried to marry to a man? Nope, I haven't. But the truth is, women's supposed to be the committed one, right? Mom, what do we honor moms because of commitment. Amen. I said this in the marathon. We was talking off the air, but you study. You can do a search. You'll find out this is true. Prisons today, the prisoners are sending mothers cards all across the country, but they won't do that on Father's Day. Why is that? Because a lot of them didn't have a committed father. But even though they're behind bars, even though they've been found guilty of some crime, their mama is still committed to them. Amen. That's what it ought to be, by the way. Mama ought to be a lifetime commitment. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Amen, preacher. It's the truth. There ought to be a lifetime commitment. How long is that child your child? It don't matter if they get married. Miss Sue's the oldest mother here. She's got children here in our room. She's got three right here, right. And they ain't none of them children. They're all of them old folks. All of them old folks. But they're still, out there's her baby. Right. Amen. They're still her children. Are you following me? She's got grandchildren. She's got great children here. Amen. Thank God for that. How long will they be her children? All of their life. No matter what they do. Amen. They can grow up and turn out like Steve. And she'll still be glad to be on the opposite side of church from him. Amen. No, I'm kidding. No, that'd be, and I know I'm being funny, but truly, commitment, we need some of that in our day, don't we? Amen. We need some of that in our day. All right. Well, let me get to my next point. She invested in spite of difficulty. She invested in spite of discouragement. Verses 5 and 6, Hannah didn't have a child. Matter of fact, look at verse number 5, the last phrase of that. It said, the Lord, he's the one shut up her womb. The Lord did it. And then verse 6, her adversary also provoked her sore. So she's got this other woman that's got children. And matter of fact, that's what it started off with in verse number 2. Peninnah had children. She's a mother. Hannah wanted to. By the way, that's natural too. It's natural to want a baby. Amen. That's natural. She wanted a child, but she didn't have any. And So God didn't allow her to have children. That's up to God. I understand that. But you know what Peninnah did? Peninnah made it like it was all Hannah's fault. Peninnah blamed Hannah for it. Peninnah mocked Hannah and made fun of her. And you've seen that. People do that. Sometimes they'll make remarks and snide remarks. And you wonder, is that aimed at me? Sometimes you don't have to wonder. You got your name written all over it. She had discouragement. But verse number 5 tells us something. Look at, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. Somebody, Elkanah, for he loved Hannah. It looks like she was probably his favorite. Amen. In case anybody's wondering, Melissa's my favorite wife. Amen. She was his favorite. Now, he had two wives in the home at the same time, and it looks like he showed favor to one, and that probably didn't go real good with Peninnah. In my mind, there's jealousy there. Right? There's jealousy there. Even though Peninnah has got a husband, same husband Hannah's got, good man. And Peninnah's got children. What Hannah would love to have, Peninnah has it, Hannah don't have it, and yet Peninnah's jealous of Hannah, and so she causes all this trouble. There's discouragement in the home. Can I tell you, there's things that'll happen in your home that'll be discouraging. It might not be just like this. I hope it's not just like this. But there's a lot of discouragement in homes today. Amen. Here's what Hannah did. Hannah just kept investing in her family. She stayed with it. She stayed with Elkanah. She went to the house of God with him. She sacrificed with him. Amen. She worshiped with him. Amen. She is investing in that home. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7. We quote 7 and 8 a lot. But verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Right? So what's it saying? Keep investing good. If you invest good, you're going to reap good. Right? And we focus on the damnation, the reaping the bad things is what we focus on. But that's not what the scripture necessarily is focusing on. If you're investing good, keep investing good. You'll reap it one of these days. You'll reap it one of these days. Amen. Verse number 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Amen. So we need to sow the right thing. She invested in spite of her difficulty. She invested in spite of her discouragement. She invested in spite of her desperation. Here she's desperate. Now notice this. Hannah was barren because God chose not to give her children. Elkanah couldn't do anything about it. Doesn't look to me like doctors could have done anything about it. The only person that could do anything about it is God. Amen. But Hannah was serving the Lord and serving her family in spite of the fact she didn't have what her heart craved most. Amen. Some of you ladies have been through that you wanted a child and it didn't come as quickly as you thought it ought to be, and you thought the world's going to come to an end. Right? I'm not making light of that. I remember Melissa went through that. She had, was it two or three doctors that told her she'd probably never have children? Amen. One of them delivered all four of our babies. Amen. But the point is, in that desperation, that moment, I got to have it. I can't have it. I got to have it. Can't have it. What do you do? I tell you what you do like she did. Pray about it. Pray about it. Anything that you're desperate about, take to God. God loves to see desperate people coming to Him. Amen. He works in desperate cases, by the way. Amen. She made an investment in her family. Number 2, she made a wise investment in her faith. And I can say a lot about that. Amen. A whole lot about that. She made an investment in her faith. Family was important to Hannah, but so was faith. They're going to the house of God. When you look at this text, again, I'm not going to take the time to read all of it, but they're going to the house of God, and Hannah gets there, and Hannah's praying at the house of God. Look at verse 10. Her faith, I'm talking about her faith, was personal, it was practical, and it was profound. Amen. Personal, practical, and profound faith. She goes to verse number 10, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore, and she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord, of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Then you go to chapter 2, and she keeps her promise, and she mentions about that and gives praise unto God for her answer to prayer. So her faith was personal. It was personal in the fact that it caused her to pray. She didn't just say, pray for me, and then her not pray. She prayed, whether anybody else did or not. Amen. A lot of times we request prayer about something that we forget about and don't even pray about. But if it's something that's really personal to you, something that's really serious to you, you'll pray about it even if everybody else forgets it. You'll remember to pray about it. That's what she did. Amen. And then she praised God when the answer came. She had a personal relationship with God is what I'm talking about there. Amen. And by the way, can I ask you this? Have you ever experienced that greatest gift of all time, which gave you a personal relationship with God? Amen. I hope you have. Saved by the grace of God. Amen. Greatest investment of your life is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Then you can communicate with Him and call on Him. So her faith was personal, her faith was practical. I could go on about what she said, about what she's going to do, and the promise that she made. She had a prayer that she made to God, and then she talked to Eli about it. From verse 10 down through verse number 18, she talked to the priest about it. She was a woman that possessed a practical aspect and practical faith in God. She didn't just know about Him, she knew Him. Amen. Eli mistook her. He thought she was a drunken woman. Right? He thought that she was up there under the influence of something other than God. He misrepresented her. He misunderstood her. You know what she did? She just kept talking to God anyway. Amen. Amen. And so I think Hannah's a good, that's a good standard for us to meet. Maybe others, maybe they do misunderstand you. Keep going to God. Keep going to God about it. Amen. Amen. Well, then the last one there, her faith was profound under this point. It was profound. She wanted a child more than anything. But here's what I noticed. She didn't just want a child for herself. She said, if you'll give me a child, a son, by the way. She specifically said, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. Now, that's pretty profound. See, I want it more than anything. But I don't just want it so I can carry him around. I don't just want it so I can watch him grow up. I want it because the house of God needs a man that's going to stand for God. And she raised up Samuel. Amen. Who stood for God when Eli and his sons were not standing as they ought to be standing. Amen. So she had a faith that was profound. So here's my last. She made an investment in her family, investment in her faith, and a wise investment in her future. Not just her future. I think about two things in this. I'm not going to give two, but just two things here. She looked at the future of her family, and I noticed that it was a wise investment because of the length of her commitment. All right? Look at verse number 11. She said, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, look at this, then I will give him unto the Lord for a few days. That's not what it says, is it? Somebody tell me what it says. I will give him unto the Lord what? All the days of his life. She had a lengthy commitment. She said, I'm going to dedicate that child to God for his whole life. Now, sometimes we have baby dedication services, not a whole service about it. We'll have somebody bring a baby up. We'll anoint them with oil, pray over them. And the idea is that they're dedicating that child to the Lord. That oil doesn't save him. We don't baptize him and all that kind of stuff. But what it does do is it makes a public statement in my heart, as the parents are saying, in my heart, in my mind, I want this child to be dedicated unto the Lord all the days of his life. Amen. And that is every mother's wish. No mother wants her child hooked on drugs. No mother wants her child hooked on pornography. No mother wants her child tattooed up and pierced up and her mouth full of vulgarity. No mother wants that. What they want is their child to be dedicated to the Lord all the days of his life. Amen. Amen. But can I tell you, a whole lot of that, I know it's up to the child. The child has a whole lot of opportunity and, of course, free will to do what they want to do. But a whole lot of that goes back to what Miss Holly was talking about. The prayers of a mama and the prayers of a grandma can reach farther than the peer pressure. Amen. Farther than the billboards. Farther than the social media. The prayers of mamas and grandmamas can do more than all the pressures of the devil and the wiles of the devil could ever do. Amen. I believe that. I believe that the prayers of mama can go in behind bars, behind those cement walls of the prison system. Amen. Amen. The prayers of mama can reach. Maybe they go to a foreign country. I'm thinking about Aaron Wells right now. Amen. How God reached all the way to the left coast to get a hold of him. Amen. Amen. It's the prayers of his mom and his daddy and his grandparents. Amen. Prayers of people believing God that God could do that. When he was in his stubbornness and he was in his rebellion, God reached out there and got a hold of him, brought him back and saved him by the grace of God. He can still do that today. Amen. He can still do that today. So the length of her commitment, she's committed to the end. So what if that son breaks your heart? You just keep loving him. You just keep praying. What if that daughter breaks your heart? You just keep loving them. You just keep praying for them. Amen. I don't think you ought to ever condone what they do. Right? When it's wrong, I don't think you ought to condone it. I also think that you ought to be careful that you try not to cut all ties. That there's at least a tie that they know you love them. They know you're praying for them, even though you don't approve of what they're doing. Amen. That they know that you're trying to be faithful to God and you've got confidence and trust in Him that He's going to work that out, and your commitment is to the end of days. Amen. The length of her commitment. Amen. And then the last one there on her wise commitment, it was through the life of her child. That does go together, but through the whole life of her child. When you look at chapter number 2, after she brought him and gave him to the Lord, she came back every year and brought him a little coat. Every year, it took more sowing. Because it's a bigger coat. Every year it took more effort. Because he's getting bigger. This is my point. They got little Roscoe back there. He needs mama. Right? He needs, especially in the middle of the night when Trevor's trying to sleep. He needs mama. But can I tell you, when he gets up big as Johnson, he'll still need mama. Right? I'm 60 years old. We got to go by and see my mom and dad while we was there. And I was glad that God let my mom live. Amen. And that I was able to be there and give her a hug. Amen. I don't have to call her every day for advice, but I'm glad she's there. Amen. I'm glad she had an impact in my life. My children are grown. They reach out to their mama. Right? That's the way it ought to be, by the way. The way it ought to be. How long should mamas be committed? They ought to be committed for life. That's my point. Ought to be committed for life. So here we are honoring Mother's Day. I want to encourage you mothers. Listen, don't let the world tell you just to hang it up. Don't let the world tell you just to throw in the towel and give up on all these things. Sometimes you think this child ain't never going to learn his ABCs. He will if you stay on him long enough. Right? I was thinking, Brother Mark, something about Miss Kim hated homeschool. I bet you all of her students did too. You just got to stay with it. Amen. They may come a day when that child says, I don't want to go to church. You know what you got to do? You got to be committed. Amen. You got to be committed. You say, are you going to make them go if they don't want to go? Oh, yes, we did. Right. I had that in my life when I was growing up. You say, well, how old they got to be where they're on their own? You can find that in the Bible yourself, but the 18 ain't the magic number in the Bible. Are you with me? But here's my point in all that. You're going to make them brush their teeth even though they don't want to. You're going to make them eat their vegetables even though they don't want to. Right? You're going to make them go to school even though they don't want to. What's more important, good teeth or God? Amen. So, they may come a day they say, I don't want to live this way. And they may get to the point that they can walk out. Right? My dad used to say to me, he'd say, boy, if you want to do like everybody else wants to do, you can do that when you're sleeping in somebody else's bed, under somebody else's roof, you're eating off of somebody else's table. You're not going to do that in this house. I think that's right. I think that's absolutely right. There may come a day when that child says, okay, I'm able. I've got the ability. Maybe I've got the money. At least they think they can. They do. They can get credit, whatever the case is, and they can go to that far country. You know what you do? They're still your child. God's still your God. They're still on your heart. What are you supposed to do? Pour your heart out to God. There's people in this building that have had those experiences, and you've seen God work in those cases when you've stayed true to God through it all. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I want to have a time of invitation. The Lord spoke to you. If you're not saved, listen, this is not just a Mother's Day message. You need to be saved by the grace of God. If you are saved, you ought to be committed to your marriage. You ought to be committed to your family, committed to your faith, committed to the future. You ought to be committed to those things for the glory of God. Father, I love you. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the message I've tried to preach. I know it's been scattered. I covered a whole lot of space there in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. Lord, I thank you for the life of Hannah. Thank you for the lives of people we've seen. It's demonstrated what that Proverbs 31 woman had. Lord, I pray help us raise up a generation of young women that want to be godly mothers. Older women willing to teach the younger women how to be godly mothers. And a generation of people that will stand true to God come what may. Lord, you get the glory. We'll thank you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.